All right, we'll go ahead and get back here. I'm glad I wasn't recording when I said that just a second ago. All right, turn with me, if you would, to, if you're still back in the back of the book, 2 Peter. Second Peter 3:18. Was that on whenever I said that? Okay. 2 Peter, what's another relationship that the child of grace has with grace, or that grace has with them? 2 Peter chapter 3, and verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Peter gives us an admonition and an encouragement here to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's something I was studying this week, and I posted, I think it was yesterday, this verse. Put your finger there, because we're going to come back to 1 Peter here in a minute. But turn with me over to Mark chapter 4. I mentioned last week about how sad it's been to see brothers tearing each other apart over things, not considering each other, ridiculing, calling each other stupid and ignorant and all these things, or just instead of going to them and talking to them about things that they might have a disagreement, they're just lambasting them all over the world to everybody online or YouTube or wherever the case might be. And how patient that we should be with each other, because it is God who teaches, and it is God who gives us the grace to grow and to know. See, without grace, we can't grow and we can't know. And that's kind of the point of 2 Peter 3:8. Grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. We need that grace. And Jesus set down a principle whenever He was speaking about the parables of the kingdom. And if you look with me in Matthew chapter 4, Mark chapter 4, and go down to verse 26. And Jesus said, or He said, "So is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come." Now, this is a principle Jesus was laying out about how things work in the kingdom of God. The child of grace is like that that seed that's been cast. Matter of fact, in other places, Jesus said that He has cast good seed and bad seed into the world. Okay, but He's casted this seed, and the seed begins to sprout, right? And if any of y'all have ever watched, I remember whenever I was a little kid in school, we used to put a seed down in a little cup, and put some dirt in there, and we'd put that seed in there, and we'd water it, and we'd put our names on the cup and sit it in the windowsill there at school, and every day we'd come in and check on it. And each day you'd come in, nothing. All of a sudden you'd come in one day, and you see the dirt's broken forth, and here's this little blade that's shot up. And then after a little while, that blade comes up, and then there is a stem, and then a little whatever it is that you've planted, budded out, and then whenever it's full grown, then it's all there, and you can pick it, and now you've got it, okay? Jesus is using that illustration here as it is of the children of grace. They are planted into this world, and sometimes it don't look like anything is happening. Night after night after night, you wake up, and then all of a sudden, the earth brings forth fruit, it says, of herself. The grace of God, the purpose of God, the work of God, the salvation of God, whatever you want to term to this, brings forth fruit. God brings forth fruit to himself. He's the sower. We're the seed. He's planted us into the world. And just like that seed, night after night, he may look and doesn't see nothing. But then comes the blade, just a little sprout. And then it grows and grows, and then it brings forth the ear. Now, if you've ever seen corn grow, you see that that's kind of what he's talking about here. And then whenever it's fully grown, then you see the full corn. Everything is there. Then at that point, what happens? The harvest time comes up. So in every believer's life, there is this principle. There will be a time of ignorance and unmoving, unknowing, nothing there, dormant. But all of a sudden, there'll be this little spring of blade show forth. When quickening takes place, this little blade comes forth. And then there might be a little ear that begins to pop out. Brethren, that's how it is with all of us. And we need to remind ourselves that we can't hurry that along, that the earth is bringing forth fruit unto herself. God's bringing forth fruit unto himself. He's determining how fast that blade pops out, how fast that ear forms, and then how fast that full corn comes to fruition. And so in the Christian's life, we see that there are periods of time as we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, we first are very childlike. We don't know. We don't have a lot of understanding. We just have a little bit there. But grace is there, giving us everything we need for what we understand at that time, and has given us the understanding that we have at that time. And see, if I come down and I injure that person at that state, that could be very detrimental to them. That don't mean it's going to stop what God's doing, but it's very detrimental. I can wound that. If you go to a plant that's just fixing to shoot up and expect, well, you know, it's maybe curving over this way, and you think it should be straight up, and you go over and grab it and bend it up, you might break it off. You know, you have to slowly, you know, trees that grow, sometimes you have to put little wires on there, and you got to slowly tug it and let it grow. And so we ought to be like that with each other. So not only should we realize that we're all growing by grace in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, but so are your brothers and sisters in Christ. And to not expect that you may have a full ear of corn coming to fruition, and they may just be the little blade that just broke up out of the ground. Now, what happens at the end? Well, it continues this development process. It continues this growth process until when? Until the harvest, right? The child of grace continues this process of growing in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ until the harvest. Well, when is that? Well, some said it was last week, September the 23rd. Whenever Jesus comes again, or until you go to be with him, one or the other, that's when that process is going to go. So what does that tell us? That tells us that from birth until death, or when Jesus comes back again, that it is God who is governing the growth in grace and knowledge of him, of each one of his people. It's not the preacher that's making them grow faster. It's not the mama or daddy that's making them grow faster. It's not the hard-nosed theologian debater on Facebook who can take down any foe that comes against him and his theology and ideology most likely. No, that's not the one who's going to make you grow faster. That doesn't mean that God doesn't use people in our growth, but you're not going to hurry that along. I can sit and yell at a plant in Lori's planter out on our front porch. I can yell at that. I can just dump tons of fertilizer on that. You know what it's going to do? It's going to kill it. I can, instead of sprinkling a little bit of that, whatever that is, Miracle-Gro that she uses, instead of sprinkling a little bit of that on there, I can just dump the whole bottle on there and say, there, that'll get it to come up faster. And what's it going to do? It's going to kill it. Oh, it takes water? Okay, well, I'm just going to leave the water running on it. Never let up. What's it going to do? It's going to drown the plant. Oh, it needs sun? Well, let me put it out here in the sun. Going to burn it up? No, it takes a little water, a little sun, a little fertilizer, a little pruning. It takes those things. And so grace is all about that in the child of grace. A little water, a little pruning, a little sunshine, a little heat, those things. So we need to keep mindful of that. So grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Any thoughts on any of that? All right. 1 Peter. If you held your place back there. I failed to hold my place. Let me go back here. 1 Peter. Chapter 3. Verse 7 says, likewise, ye husbands, I tell you what, we better back up so everybody kind of knows what we're talking about here. Let's go back to verse 1 and read down, get the context. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Man, I'm in trouble. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair or of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden manner of the heart, hidden manner of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of the meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So, now I won't go into all the other stuff about husbands and wives there, but here we see that one of the relationships between the believer and grace is that we are heirs of that grace, that we have inherited that grace. And we've inherited that grace because we are, how does someone become an inheritant of something? An inheritor. Is it an inheritant or an inheritor? How does someone become a recipient of someone's inheritance? Well, the normal, natural way is by being the child, the offspring, the family member, right? The Bible says that we are children of God, that we are heirs according to the promise of God. The Bible says that we are the sons of God. And so we see that this is what this is speaking of. We are heirs together of the grace of life. The fact that we've been given life. Now, it's another grace, and I'll just say this in response to the husband and wife issue that's going on here. To have a husband or a wife that also is a child of grace and loves and believes the gospel is also a work of grace. For God to give us that, because not everybody has that. Not everybody has a believing husband or a believing wife. Or they may have one who is a professor of religion, but not a professor of the gospel of grace. And so that is an inheritance that we receive in this lifetime, is that life. All right, one more here, and I think we'll adjourn for the day. Turn with me back to Ephesians. Unless any of the other brothers have anything to say, I always want to give opportunity for that. Ephesians chapter 4. The other thing that the believers have, or a relationship that we can have to grace, is, and this kind of goes back to the blade and the ear thing a little bit as well, but how we talk amongst ourselves, how we talk about each other, how we talk before other people. It says, verse 29, it says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying." And I know a lot of people say that, well, you know, running down that guy or that guy over here is edifying to those who need to know that that guy is wrong, you know. And I'm pointing this a lot towards me because I have a lot to learn in this regards. "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying." What's the old adage that we say? If you ain't got nothing good to say, don't say it at all, kind of attitude. He says, "That it may," that what may? That the speaking of things to the use of edifying. "That it may have to give," excuse me, "that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Now, I don't just think the use of edifying is in view there, but both those things, the positive and the negative. The not speaking corrupt things is also ministering grace unto the hearer, and the saying of edifying things is ministering grace to the hearer. How is that true? We all know that we have our quirks, right? One thing may be quirkier to me than it is to you. Okay, you may not find something to be quirky at all, but to me it's quirky. And I think that it bothers me, and it may not bother you at all. But yet if I find a brother or sister that is doing that quirky thing that bothers me, there may be a brother and sister that may not have a problem with that brother or sister. And they have a good relationship, a good rapport, a good fellowship together. But the introduction of my quirkiness to everybody may then begin to cause that person to think different about the other. If their conscience hasn't bothered them about that person's quirkiness, then let it ride. And keep that between you and them. So me not revealing something about somebody else may be to the edification of that person, to the building up of that person. Now again, I'm not disregarding error, okay? Error has to be confronted. Error has to be rebuked, corrected, talked about. I'm talking about flaws that we all have. We all have them. We all know what they are. We all deal with them. Matter of fact, we can tell each other, you know, "Hey, I have a problem with this. I know that. I'm working on that," you know. Although I can work all the day long unless God gives me grace. I'm going to keep on working. But then on the positive side, if I speak only those good things, I remember the story, and I think I've told you this here before, of the guy over here in Pitcher, that he was kind of he kind of irritated a lot of the people in the church, which was weird because it bothered them because this guy never said anything negative about anybody. Now, to me, that would be a good quality to have, right? I mean, you'd think we would praise somebody for, man, that guy, he never says anything bad about anybody. But this guy, he never said anything bad about, but always tried to find the positive or something positive to say about somebody. And when anybody would ever try to come to him and talk behind somebody's back about one person or another, he wouldn't entertain that, but would always say something positive about that person. And everything. Well, there happened to be a guy in town that the whole town really didn't like. I mean, he was a cankerous person. He'd come to the church and visited. My grandpa went and visited him many, many times and everything. And he just didn't want to have nothing to do with anything. And I mean, he was cantankerous, and really nobody in town liked him. And the guy passed away, and they were all at the funeral. And one of the persons said, well, you know, let's ask Brother So-and-so what he thinks about old So-and-so, because nobody had anything good to say about him. So he obviously ain't going to be able to say nothing. And he said, you know, well, what did you think about old So-and-so? And he said, boy, that guy sure could whistle good. You know, I think we could use a little bit more of that, especially in our churches. We could use a lot of that, being mindful of the fact that our words can become corrupt in our communication, and that we could tear down another, not just the brother that we may be talking about, but our speech could tear down one who's listening, and that we should only speak those things which is the use of edifying, because the Bible says it will minister grace unto the hearers. So one of the relations that we have with grace is that grace can enable us to have profitable or good speech from our mouths. And we'll stop right there, brothers and sisters, and we'll look at a couple of things, Lord willing, next week. And I think may be done with this, unless the Lord places a couple more things on my heart. Anybody got anything? Any of you brothers have any words that you'd like to share, or any comments or anything about anything that was said today, or anything the Lord's laid on your heart? All right. Well.